The Recruitment Roller Coaster Podcast. My name is Hisham Azouz, and this is a show where I'll be bringing to life the true failures, learns, and successes of recruiters and recruitment business owners. Today, I'm joined by my first ever guest on the Recruitment Roller Coaster Podcast. I'll be having a conversation with Petrus Wellis, who is a South African-based recruiter. After school, Petrus followed in his parents' footsteps and secured himself a job within the automotive industry. He worked in several garages selling a wide variety of vehicles. He knew that this wasn't his true calling, so when an internal recruiter approached him about a recruitment job, he was very interested. The rest is history. He has now worked within the recruitment industry for just over 12 months and he's absolutely loving it. In his conversation, we discuss what he's learned so far, and what advice he'd give to those who are early on in their recruitment career. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hello, Petrus.
Hello, Hisham.
Thank you for joining me on the first ever Recruitment Roller Coaster Podcast. You're my first guest. Thanks for your time.
It's only a pleasure, and thanks for having me as your first guest.
No worries. I'm looking forward to it. So, awesome. Look, Petrus, as you know, I've done a session before our conversation. So, I've got a few things that I definitely want to ask you. Now, the first question that I wanted to ask, because a lot of people like yourself fall into the recruitment industry. So something that I wanted to get your opinion on was, do you think that more people should start actually choosing to work within the recruitment industry?
Definitely. If I had had even known that recruitment is a actual career and that you could go from a sales environment into a recruitment agency, I would have definitely joined the industry a lot earlier. If anyone ever asks me what my biggest regret is, it's not joining recruitment earlier.
Really?
Definitely.
What was your perception of recruitment then? But if you never heard of it or whatever, did you not? Yeah, like what was your perception of recruitment?
Definitely an HR role.
Okay.
I know it has a lot to do with hiring or as we all know, recruitment.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought it was a hardcore desk job doing just HR, and that you would have had to study in that direction.
Yeah. So maybe because you come from sales, you didn't think that you'd keep that as much. It was more the people management and stuff like that you actually thought it was.
Exactly.
Well, recruitment definitely has sales. You definitely have to do some sort of sales in recruitment. If you don't, then it's going to be pretty difficult to get those placements. But some people don't like to call it sales, but in my opinion, everything is sales. You're selling the job. You're selling your services, you're selling the candidates. Every part of it is sales.
Of course. And coming from a sales environment from a young age, I grew up in the sales industry. I know that sales is actually just building relationships.
Sure.
And that's what recruitment is. Within recruitment, you don't just want to make one placement with one client or place a candidate once necessarily.
Yeah.
You want to build relationships and offer solutions rather than just selling.
Rather than it being sort of transactional. That 100% is it's a long game. And if you have that viewpoint and mindset, then you are going to win long term, because you're less likely to make those short win decisions just to get that sort of fee or placement,
and
look at it as a sort of longer relationship standpoint. So look, that's great. So
basically, Petra, so look, you've been in recruitment now for 12 months, haven't you? So
yes.
Yeah, just kind of 12 months. So, I mean, in those 12 months, as I'm sure you know, there are a lot of people who basically don't even make it to 12 months. So what have you found the most challenging as a recruiter in those 12 months, do you think?
Well, I would definitely say the number 99 of a transact or a placement happening or not.
Yeah.
I had an instance just last week where it was literally the placement was 90% done and the final 10% broke the deal.
And yeah, it's never done until it's on that board. Exactly, never done until it's there.
Exactly. So that unpredictability of the kind of transaction that you're trying to do or the placement that you're trying to make, that is really quite a challenge.
Sure.
From just another sales environment that I've
sure.
Experienced. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, that was one of my sort of biggest challenges to get my head around, because a bit like yourself, I was obviously selling cars, right? And selling exactly. something that basically couldn't turn around to you on the last day of hopefully which you thought would be the deal and go, yeah, I'm not turning up today.
Exactly.
So I get it. When your product, essentially your product is people, the variables are endless. And I think that's what makes recruitment in a way addictive, because when you help people and it's people that are getting jobs and you sort of see that through all the way from the start to the finish, it's extremely rewarding, really rewarding.
Definitely. And I think that's why the losses at the end are so devastating, because yeah. you've walked a journey with this candidate and you've, through every step of the process, they've been really positive throughout, and then one factor could make them decide not to take the offer.
Sure. So how have you learned to deal with that? How, obviously, sounds like obviously that's happened a few times. I mean, how have you learned to deal with that devastation? Because that's where obviously some people experience that and go, yeah, oh my God, I can't, this isn't for me. How have you learned to deal with that?
Yes, you're definitely right. That is one of the biggest challenges that a lot of new recruiters face, is dealing with that loss or rejection. And I think what I've learned within recruitment, one of the hardest lessons I've learned is to have a backup. And that's what I learned with my very first placement, actually, is that the candidate pulled out at number 99, and it took me 2 weeks to find a replacement where I would have had one if I just knew.
Also, yeah, yeah. So don't put all your eggs in one basket, basically, always.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think what I've learned, I'm sure there's a statistic behind it, but I'm not sure, so don't quote me on it. But I think that if you aim to try and get anywhere between sort of 3 and 4 people per vacancy, you've got a very good chance of filling that job, good chance. But sometimes you can't always get that. But I think you're completely right. Don't sort of all put your eggs all in one basket and not have any sort of other candidates that you're even speaking to, etc. I think that you're always better off speaking to more people and continuously sourcing for that job, as we said, until the deal's done. So, okay, interesting. I mean, I'd love to get your thoughts on one thing, Petrus. I mean, for those that are maybe thinking about getting into recruitment, maybe looking online, what does it involve? Does it involve just managing people like you thought? What's the sort of day-to-day look like? I mean, what would your advice be to someone who is considering a career in recruitment, Petrus?
Well, I would definitely say choosing your industry is going to determine your success.
So like what you recruit, the sector you recruit for?
Exactly.
Okay.
You definitely need to have a lot of industry knowledge. Even if you're just starting out, having passion for that industry.
Yeah.
because that will immediately inspire you to do more research, to find out more about the industry, what is happening, so that you are proactively recruiting, you know, candidates that will drive not your client's business forward with trends that are going ahead. And I'm sure you, within your industry, you also find that. You have a passion for your specific industry, so you understand a lot more what a job entails than just, you know, searching for hot words within a CV.
Sure. No, I think, I think for me, I think that can you always recruit in your passion? I'm not sure, but I think that you should definitely have at least a curiosity and interest in that industry, because the thing is, the day-to-day of a recruiter, it's bloody difficult. You may always feel like you're searching and you're trying to find people, and when you finally speak to someone and you don't find that conversation interesting about their experience and stuff like that, it can always feel tough. So I think that's some good advice for people to actually have a think about, you know what, actually have a quiet sort of curiosity about that particular sector, and that will help definitely day to day, without a doubt. So what I'd be interested in to know, Petrus, obviously being in recruitment for 12 months. So how have you generated the majority of your candidates? Have they come off job boards? Have you used social media, or how have you generated and made your placements since you've been there?
Well, I don't focus on just one source, because I really don't want to limit where I get my talent from.
Sure.
Because so many people within South Africa don't use LinkedIn the way they're supposed to.
Really?
Definitely. I think we are a lot smaller percentage of users in South Africa compared to the rest of the world.
So when you say not use it properly, as in just people don't proactively use it as a tool to generate candidates?
Well, candidates don't know how to set up their profile necessarily. So they would basically just list their qualifications and maybe their first job. You're sometimes lucky if you get a profile picture, but
it's never fun to send an emails to without a profile picture. You're always a bit, should I send it or not?
But you know, the top guys, the guys that are leading the industry, they are on LinkedIn. The guys that are up and comers, those you would find on job boards. I've even sourced on Twitter. And I also, you know, use Instagram sometimes to connect with guys in the industry, so that I, you know, don't limit myself.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the right mindset and the right approach. Definitely how with the sort of the industry and how it's evolving, definitely. So I think that's brilliant. I mean, just a quick question around that. So you say, mention Instagram there. So do you have like a company page which you can log into, or do you have your own individual sort of Instagram, which is your sort of employer's account, if you get what I mean? How is that? So how does it come across to, how does that work?
So I've definitely managed to successfully split my personal profile from my professional profile on most social media platforms.
Sure.
So I do have a pseudonym that I would have my personal profile under.
Ah, okay. I think that's what I just think about, because if I were that's what I'd probably do, because if you think about it, if someone gets a message of a sort of company page, there isn't that sort of personal sort of relationship where you think, oh, it's just a business messaging me or whatever. So I think that having your own personal account, or at least it being a person, you're more likely to get some engagement. So look, I think look, Petrus, I think it seems like you're definitely taking steps in the right direction. Sounds like you made a few placements. You're learning.
Thanks.
So in your first 12 months, you should definitely be proud of yourself. So look, thank you so much for your thoughts. But look, before you go, I'd love to know, I mean, what have you got going on at the moment with your recruitment desk that you're really excited about? What's going on in your world?
Well, I do recruit within tech, and my speciality is data science. Mostly all data-related roles, but data science is the hot topic on everybody's lips.
Is this do you include GDPR in that then?
Excuse me. Well, in South Africa, GDPR doesn't really affect the South African regulation yet. Okay. We do have the Poppy Act, which it's rumored that GDPR will kind of take over the Poppy Act, but that hasn't really been confirmed yet. So when I do, of course, we are trained on that in our company because we recruit internationally.
Yeah.
But within the data science world, I mostly focus on the South African market.
Okay.
And my colleague and I, within our data team, we've kind of built a great talent pool.
Nice.
And we are working on marketing these guys out to startups in Cape Town.
Okay.
Because we do have a new nickname called the Silicone Cape. So we have a lot of startups that we are approaching to sell a solution rather than just do a couple of placements.
Sure. Nice. I love that. So I think, look, when you've got the candidates, you've got the power, right? So you've got to just try and get them in front of the right people. So cool. So that sounds interesting. So basically, Petrus, I mean, how can people find and connect with you then?
Well, LinkedIn is where you'll see most of my activity. I also have the handle JobFluencer on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me there.
Okay.
Or have a look at our YouTube channel, CloudStream. We do a lot of vlogs on our channel there.
Cool. Look, seems like you guys are definitely ahead of the curve in terms of using all sort of different tools in terms of social media. So honestly,
thank you very much.
a big well done. And look, it was great to chat. And thank you so much for your time, Petrus.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hisham.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.